KKK0.
This is Mike Frisetto, your host at Inside the 610, and today we're talking about homelessness in the Lehigh Valley. I am so fortunate to have Clarice James and Hope Sabal, experts in this field, here in the studio to discuss this issue. All right, and we got a really special day today. We have Clarice James here in the studio, and Clarice, well, first of all, thanks for coming.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, you've been doing a lot of important work, especially in the last 5 years. I've been hearing your name in so many different circles in the Lehigh Valley, doing a lot of important work. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to just give us a summary of what important work you've been doing with your nonprofit and volunteerism in the Lehigh Valley.
So I run Mira Resources, a local nonprofit agency. We work assisting the migrant, immigrant, refugee, and asylum-seeking families in the Lehigh Valley. So that is part of the many hats. I also work over at the Bethlehem Emergency Shelter, the Allentown Housing Authority, and I work with Lehigh University through the Mandela Washington Fellowship Program, which I believe we will also be discussing.
Yeah, I would love to discuss all of those topics. First of all, the nonprofit, Mira Resources, you founded it and are the executive director. Is that correct? All right. And how long have you been doing that?
So we're going on 3 years now that we've had Mira.
Okay, that's awesome. I've been in the nonprofit world myself, so I could just understand the first 3 years are definitely a difficult first 3 years.
Hectic, to say the least.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So what have been some of the barriers that you had to get over to just start a nonprofit here in the Lehigh Valley for the first 3 years?
So there wasn't any other organization that was specifically doing the work that we were doing. So we had to kind of identify the groups that we're working with, see what agencies exist in other states that were similar to the mission that we had, and what works and what doesn't work. It's always a learning curve and a learning period. So we're growing with each year that we've had the program, and thankful to still be here and helping the people we work with.
It seems like that's a big need in the Lehigh Valley to have a nonprofit organization that can help people coming into this area that really aren't connected to resources. How many people would you say, or families would you say, that you have helped over the last 3 years or on a monthly basis? How many goes through your program?
So we roughly work with 50 families a month. So averaging out, I suck at math, but we have a lot of families that are coming in from different parts of the world. We have a very diverse community here in the Lehigh Valley, as we all know, but that diversity stretches to refugees and undocumented immigrants and asylum seekers. So it's, you know, diversity that we're maybe not familiar with, but we're getting to know more about it.
Refugees and asylum seekers. We've been hearing, I would say the public in the Lehigh Valley has heard about that term in the last 10 years, maybe more so in the last 5 years. But how big of a problem is it in the Lehigh Valley? How many asylum seekers are there?
So we have a really big population, refugees, asylum seekers, and migrants and immigrants. And so it varies year to year. So 3 years ago, we had a huge wave of refugees that are coming in from different parts of Africa. 2 years ago, we had a huge wave of families that were coming in from Afghanistan. Last year, we had refugees that were coming in from Ukraine. Right now, the biggest influx that we're seeing is undocumented immigrants that we have that are coming in from all over.
What's the root causes? Why are they leaving their areas and their countries that they're originally from and coming here to the Lehigh Valley? What's pushing them out?
So it could be anything from war to famine to things that are going in the governments there. A really big thing that we have that has happened in other places and now is happening here in Lehigh Valley is trafficking. So whether it be labor trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking. So we have a lot of families that are coming from situations like that. It's very common coming from over the border.
Wow, that's just, it seems like nightmares that these people are going through. And I don't know of many other resources besides your nonprofit that deals with this. Is there any other resources that has helped you or that you get in touch with or connect people with to kind of help you, since there's so many? I know one organization can't really deal with every single person coming in.
Like I mentioned, the numbers that we have coming in, we would absolutely not be able to serve all of them on our own. So a big part of Mira is actually partnerships. So we partner with organizations that already exist and already do offer certain services, because I'm really big on not reinventing the wheel. If a service already exists, then we just work with that partner to, you know, making that referral process and that warm handoff easier for our families.
It takes a lot, because every day waking up, knowing you're going to have to deal with some of these nightmares that people go through, it takes a toll on probably your mental health. It might even motivate you in some ways to wake up and give it all you got every day. But also it could wear you down over time by knowing that you're going to wake up and deal with these situations every single day. Why did you get into this work? What pushed you into this direction?
So my family is actually from Colombia, so I'm first generation, and I saw what they went through coming here. I also worked in ESOL for many years and saw what our families were going through coming here, and there was just a huge space for that resource and that support for these groups of people. We didn't have anyone that was actively doing it, and I knew of most of the resources because I worked in the community for quite a few years at that point. And so we felt equipped enough to be able to start this organization. And I think anyone can do the work that we're essentially doing, as long as you just, you know, put your mind to it. I know it sounds so cliche, but it's, you know, anyone can do it.
Now, the biggest help that you would say now, 3 years in, what do you need help-wise, resource-wise, to make the resources that you connect these families with to make them more effective?
We do not have enough employment opportunities. We do not have enough housing opportunities for the families. Those two are something that almost all the families are needing, and we just don't have enough for how many families are coming in.
How do you fix that?
So keeping in mind that a lot of the families that we are working with are undocumented, it's really a big part of it is partnerships. So a lot of them are undocumented, and we need to be realistic about it. When we see big waves of undocumented coming in, it's not because they rather come in undocumented. You know, they rather come in the right way. They rather do things the right way. But the process is getting lengthier. It's expensive. It's difficult. So that's where our huge undocumented community comes from. And they need employment just like any other person. They need housing just like any person, food, clothing, you know, shelter, all those basic necessities. And whether we like it or not, they're still going to need those necessities. Whether we like it or not, they're here and they need that help. So we might as well try to help them the best that we can, rather than them trying to go about it in other ways.
Yeah, that's a very depressing topic, but it's the reality that we face. The one part that brings happiness to that topic is that you do bring hope to these families where they probably have a situation where they don't even, some of them might not even have any hope left. So by being connected with you, it might give them the hope that they need to keep going on strong. So now on the more positive side of things, now that we talked about the reality, I know you're also involved with a Lehigh University to provide some educational support for some refugees or some international students that might want to come in here to the United States or to the Lehigh Valley. I believe that's called the Mandela Washington Fellowship. Can you talk a little bit about that and the opportunities that has for some of the young students that are a part of it?
Yes, absolutely. So that program, it's a government program, but it runs through different universities that are chosen to partner through it. And thankfully, Lehigh University is a local university here. And so they are able to host the Mandela Fellows and actively have that fellowship there. How the program works is Mandela Washington Fellowship, that program is run underneath the Young African Leadership Initiative. And so it specifically brings young entrepreneurs from different parts of sub-Saharan Africa to here, to the different universities that are involved in entrepreneurship where they're from. And they're able to come here, learn from us, and we learn from them. And they're partnered with local mentors. They learn about organizations here, and they teach us about what they're running and what they founded there, which is a huge inspiration in itself, that they're able to create the things and opportunities that they've created out of less than what we have here.
If somebody knew somebody that was interested in joining this program, how would they go about that?
So the program is specifically run through the Iacocca Institute at Lehigh University. So I would suggest getting in contact with them.
All right. And how many times a year and how many students does that serve?
So I would say, it runs, it's once a year. It's through the summer from June to July. I want to say roughly like 26, 28 people participate.
That's amazing. I want to get to some of the other topics that we spoke about before the show that you're involved in. You talked about that a lot of the refugees coming in and asylum seekers, that one of the biggest issues is finding them a place to live. Mm-hmm. You also do work with the Allentown Housing Authority, and we talked about a 40,000-person waiting list, not enough housing. So talk to us a little bit about the Allentown Housing Authority issue, and how can they come up with solutions to find housing for these people that are coming in undocumented?
So specifically for the families that we have coming in that are undocumented that need housing, it wouldn't really be a question of the housing authorities, considering part of being applicable for housing is you need your documentation. So as a whole, there needs to be more housing that's available. There's just not enough as a whole. Also, landlords, you know, the spike in the rent increases, there needs to be something done about that. It's just, it's too high. It's not realistic based on the income that everyone's bringing in. There's something that needs to be done about how these landlords are spiking up the prices for rent.
So in Allentown and Bethlehem, especially in Allentown, there's been a huge talk about, for the last, I would probably say, 3-4 years about fair housing. Is this something that your organization supports, and do you see it as ever passing in one of the city councils in Allentown or Bethlehem to provide lower costs for rent?
That's a full question. So MIRA in itself, the way that we work with the clients with helping find housing is connecting with just local partners, local landlords that are able to work with our families and that are honestly just realistic about the fact that we have people that are coming in that don't have their documentation because of how difficult the process has been made. And also another thing that actually contributes to that as well is the more people that we have coming in because of the more crises that are going on in other countries, then that also makes the wait list longer because we have masses that are coming in. Mm-hmm. But it's just more partners that are realistic about what we have coming in and that we just need to be able to provide them help just like we provide anybody else help.
Gotcha. And now it's here it is always around this time of year, the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas. The issue of homelessness always comes up in this area at this time of the year, it seems like. And I know you do a lot of work with Bethlehem Emergency Shelter. What's the status of that? Is there any openings for people who are unsheltered and have no place to go? Is there warming stations? Is there enough for the amount of people that there are in the Lehigh Valley, knowing that the numbers doubled or tripled in the last 2-3 years?
There is absolutely not enough in the Lehigh Valley. There isn't. Thankfully, we have different programs that have warming beds or different shelters that we have, but there's not enough for the numbers that are out on the street. So specifically the Bethlehem Emergency Shelter, we're at capacity with our men. We do have some availability with our women, but it's everyone's seeing it. I mean, you call every shelter, every warming bed, there's everyone's at max capacity. And then that's even their max capacity in their shelters, but the streets, the camps are still filled. It's not like they're empty and we're at max.
Seems like such a horrible reality that we're living with here right now, especially with that topic. Clarice, thank you so much for coming in. And if people wanted to get in contact with you, or if they know somebody, or if they themselves need some help, where can they get in contact with you and your organization?
Absolutely. So you can find us at themirresources.org. Just searching us online and we're there.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming in today and talking about these topics.
On the Media tackles sticky issues with a frankness and transparency that has built trust while maintaining the civility and fairness that are the hallmarks of public radio. Host Brooke Gladstone and guests cover politics, science, social media, entertainment, and all aspects of the media world in depth. On the Media investigative reporting can help you sort through the news of the day. Listen Tuesday at 6 p.m. following All Things Considered on 88.1 WDIY, streaming or on the WDIY app.
All right, and for today's second guest here in the studio, we have Hope Sabah. Hope, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I said this in the last show too, around this time of year, the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, this community always talks about the issue of homelessness. It always comes up, I think maybe because people feel in a more giving mood, or maybe because they know it's getting cold outside and there's people outside suffering in the cold, or the combination of both, or the media projecting it more. But you, I would consider as one of the experts of the homelessness or unsheltered issue here in the Lehigh Valley. So I definitely wanted to get you on this show today to talk about all those topics.
Thank you for having me. Definitely this time in the year, it's specifically difficult for the homeless, being that it is colder. There most likely is snow or ice. And unfortunately, in the Lehigh Valley, there are not many emergency shelters to house the unsheltered. We do have family shelters in the Lehigh Valley, Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton. Although these shelters do exist, there's an intake process that takes a little bit, and you have to have certain qualifications to get in, so it's not emergent. The emergency shelters here in Allentown, I know, is at the Y off of 15th Street. They operate from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and they just open November 15th, and they'll be open till April. They take people in as long as they are not a sexual offender, or I believe if you have children, the children cannot stay. So it's men or women, and they can't have that offense on their criminal record of sexual offense.
Well, our last guest, Clarice James, pointed at that too, that even in Bethlehem emergency shelter that she works closely with, that they were at capacity as well. Yep. So it seems like no matter what emergency shelter there is in whatever, Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton, they're all at capacity. So what options do the unsheltered population have if they can't find emergency shelter?
So with the nonprofit that I work with, Operation Address the Homeless, it's a drop-in center. We are operating from Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., hot meals, showers, emergency attire for the elements outside, such as warm coats, as we talked about earlier, you know, mittens, hats, whatnot, to prevent any kind of frostbite or to give them the warmth they need if they were to not have options such as the emergency shelter, or if they're still waiting for shelter, then obviously tents, sleeping bags, etc. is something that we provide them with if that's what they choose and if that's all they have as an option. Unfortunately, in the Lehigh Valley, we're dealing with a lot of core issues such as affordable housing, a lack of. We're also dealing with a low minimum wage, although you can find jobs for $15 an hour now. The majority of families I know personally from working with families and children are that they are working. It's just a lower wage because the state of Pennsylvania is still at a $7.25 minimum wage. So, for example, I had a woman who's working at Giant getting $8 an hour while her husband's working at a restaurant for $13 an hour. And when you look at the statistics, to actually be able to have a one-bedroom apartment in Allentown, you need at least $20 an hour. It's $19 in some sense, like 64 cents, I believe. But that's the average.
So there you go. You have two adults that are in a relationship together, both working full-time and still not being able to afford a one-bedroom apartment in the city.
Yep.
Let alone insurance, healthcare, car, gas.
Yep.
Any communication device, anything like that, or if, even if they have a child, food,
yep,
things like that. So how many people have you seen over the last, because I know this issue got worse since COVID, since about 3 years ago. How many people do you think, or do you know if you have data, still work, but they are homeless now because prices of rent went up, mm-hmm, and their wages did not go up?
So I can give you two sets of data. I can give you one set of data from Operation Address the Homeless, and then I can give you a second set of data from the Knowledge I Know of Families and Children in Allentown specifically. From COVID up till now, Operation Address the Homeless have seen double in numbers as far as hot meals go. Some of them tripled. So average, we're talking about seeing numbers from 600 go all the way up to 1,900.
Per month. Per month. 1,900 hot meals per month.
Yes, that was the highest that we got to in our COVID months. When we look at the number of families and children in the school district of Allentown, or Allentown, if we're counting the identified students, through the department that I worked with last year, which I'm no longer working, we were able to identify 600 school-aged children from elementary to high school that were experiencing homelessness, not by the HUD definition, but by the McKinney-Vento Assistance federal definition.
And what's the difference of that? What's that definition?
So the HUD definition, the housing definition, is basically homeless means unsheltered, meaning you don't have a home, meaning you're outside.
Okay.
The McKinney-Vento Assistance Act's definition is basically, it's to support the families based off of their living situation. So you can be in a car, you can be in a shelter, in a transitional living. You can be doubled up, which means if you were evicted or a victim of a fire and you're living with a relative or a friend, you'd be considered doubled up. So even in a motel hotel due to a preceding event, such as eviction, domestic abuse, COVID, or risk of eviction. So even families who are at risk of eviction are considered homeless, and they're supported till the end of the school year to allow them to continue their schooling. But despite those identified students and those identified people and the numbers that have went up, we have to look at the COVID moratorium that was in place during COVID that is no longer. The COVID moratorium ended in July of 2021. And that basically protected families from being evicted from their home if they were past rents.
Yeah, I remember that. So you said 600 students, student age in Allentown School District alone. This isn't including any of the other school district in the Lehigh Valley. And those are just identified students.
Mm-hmm.
So in your experience, how much larger is that number from unidentified students that kind of fell through the cracks?
A lot larger. Because you're not taking into account the non-school-age children, and you're not taking account the other children who have graduated that are still in the home. I still consider an 18-year-old a child until they become 19. That's just me. But McKinney-Vento Assistance Act helps students up till they're 21, I believe, continue school.
See, I think if people knew about those numbers, that would be so mind-blowing to the public that there would have to be some sort of an outcry to make sure that this issue gets fixed in some way, that there's a solution that gets brought up. Because if you just go around to people and say, hey, do you know how many students are homeless in one school district in the Lehigh Valley? And you say a number over 1,000. So you have 1,000 kids, over 1,000 kids sleeping in a car, sleeping outside, sleeping on somebody's couch, moving around week to week to different places or from an emergency shelter. And then you think that they got to get up in the morning, 7 a.m. and go to school and get good grades and behave and come back. I just feel like that's a huge burden on not only the families but the students as well that a lot of people don't even consider every day.
It is, and even when you consider migrant students who are afraid of, you know, not having documentation and not ID, and then we take it back to homeless individuals who don't have identification and need identification, but how do they get identification if they don't have money? So some people are literally having to choose between eating one day and doing the necessities of documentation to get them the help that they need. So I know a mother who feeds her children first and doesn't feed herself until the last crumb. And she has her own problems to deal with. But that's a sacrifice that a lot of our families are experiencing right now. And it's becoming a bigger problem because as a community, we have to understand that we can give our help in ways that are necessary, but if we don't get to the root of the problem, and if we don't have policymakers and decision makers in place that are actually advocating for those solutions, then it's going to become just regular to see this cycle continue.
So I think this is the right time to get into that part of the interview to say, hey, so what needs to be done? The cities or local governments or nonprofit organizations, what do they have to do to find a solution for these issues? Because these issues, well, one, they're just not acceptable, and two, they're growing. So what needs to be done to minimize these issues?
I know Bethlehem hired a law firm, which is wonderful, to kind of help mitigate the homeless crisis. Allentown, on the other hand, has the Homeless Commission in place with a few signed-in members that are trying to come up with solutions and trying to advocate on a city level to contribute some of those solutions. But I believe that affordable housing is one solution if there was more of it. instead of the luxury apartments that we're now building. That's kind of unrealistic for what's kind of our minimum wage and what landlords are requiring tenants to supply, which is 3 times the amount of rent, a security deposit, and a background check and a credit check. So, you know, if families can't qualify for that or can't afford that, then inherently they're going to be looking for other means to live, which is inhabitable places for less amount of money, for less vetting.
Do you see any hope on the horizon here?
I see hope on the horizon once the community works together. And
Why do you say it like that? It seems like you said that with some hesitation. Do you see that the community is fragmented when it comes to the issue of homelessness?
I believe there's a lot of tension with our communities based off of who does what and who does things better. And once we realize it's not about us, but it's about the people that we are serving, we're serving the same cohort of people. So if we can't come together and come up with solutions for the people we serve, then what are we doing in the places that we're serving besides having egotistical minds?
So that seems to be a recurring theme here in the Lehigh Valley, that different organizations just can't work together even though they have the same basic mission.
Yeah.
So do you see any hope in that?
I do see hope. Okay. There's always hope. My name is Hope. I'm kidding. But no, there is always hope, and there's always... I think with the initiatives that are in place right now, we're slowly getting there. But unfortunately, the homeless crisis in the Lehigh Valley is becoming greater and the demand is getting greater. And if we don't start actually getting to the root and maybe having an additional year-long shelter for individuals, or even a more cost-effective residential kind of solution, I don't think that it's going to get better anytime soon.
Now, you mentioned the root twice already in this interview. If you had to say in a short phrase or a few words of what do you think, being an expert in this field, what do you say is the root cause of these issues?
Gentrification.
Simply as that, that's what's happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Because it is causing a snowball effect with the cost of living, with the amount of affordable housing, with the ability to allocate funding to affordable housing and what's being permitted and what's not. And also the minimum wage is another huge issue, because we have the data, we have the statistics. How do we incorporate that data to, you know, contribute to the solution that's really at its core?
This work is so important, and I'm so glad you and even Clarice earlier was able to come on today to talk about these issues. If there's people out there listening to this that need help or know somebody that needs help, how can they get in contact with you or your organizations so they could seek out help?
If anybody would like to contribute to the unsheltered or to those who don't have food to eat or warm clothes, places like Operation Dress the Homeless, where I volunteer my time, is open Monday, Wednesday, Friday. You can drop off donations of coats. We're in great need of coats right now.
Where are they located?
We're located on 221 North 7th Street, Allentown, PA, 18102. And drop-in centers are readily located if you do the research, but Operation Dress the Homeless is core to Center City, and it's very easy for individuals who are unsheltered to reach. So,
well, I pray that the community can come together, organizations can come together, local governments can come together to come up with some real solutions. Hope, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you. Just one thing before we end. The solutions was so important to me that myself and Clarice were able to come together and do a conference at Muhlenberg College November, I believe, in the first week of November. That was pretty much to unify individuals, stakeholders, professionals, educators, housing to this summit to discuss these issues. And so we hope to have one every year. But you can reach me specifically through my email, hope@operationaddressthehomeless.org.
Thank you so much for doing this work and coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in today with us, and thank you so much to Clarice James and Hope Sabaugh for coming in. This is Mike Frasetto, your host, and you've been listening to Inside the 610.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.